The following podcast is brought to you by the Station of the Cross. Thank you for listening.
As Sister Lucia said, we will either be saved together or we will be damned together.
I think self-knowledge is important. When I've worked with people struggling with this, I say, look, you need to get all CSI on yourself.
No, that's exactly right. I couldn't agree with you more.
Our Lady of the Rosary is our answer, is our refuge, is our hope.
Everybody connected to McCarrick really should be cleared out. The church needs a fresh start.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we plug into the power of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church. You're listening to us on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network and the iCatholic Radio app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. As always, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, through the intercession of St. Ignatius Loyola, we ask that you pour forth the spirit of discernment upon us, that we may hear your voice and obey your command. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, today's topic may surprise you a little bit. We're going to ask this question: is paganism making a comeback? Our returning guest is a well-known speaker, author, apologist, and evangelist, Steve Ray. Welcome back to the Catholic Current.
Well, thank you, Father. Glad to be here. I was pleasantly surprised the first time I did the show. I didn't know what to expect. I had not known you before that time, and I was so pleasantly pleased with you and the show that I was very excited when you invited me back.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. Thank you for your kind words, and I hope we can have an ongoing relationship between us and the Catholic Current, and I'd be glad to be of service in any of your work as well. Steve, I suppose we should define our terms. You know, when we ask the question, is paganism making a comeback? Maybe someone's saying, hey, Father, I drove to work this morning, and I did not drive past the Church of Thor, and I didn't see anyone, you know, dancing in front of statues of Athena. So what do you all mean? So why are we using the word paganism today, Steve?
Well, I think paganism has a rich history, just the etymology of the word, the history of the word. It comes from an ancient word that just means village or the outlying areas, and it was referring to people in the city who were urbane and usually at the time Christian, and they were looking out at the unwashed masses out in the urban areas that weren't educated and didn't have any idea, philosophy, and culture, and they were called the pagans, the village people way out there. And that came to be known as those who did not accept the one God, and those who had resisted that idea and were looking for polytheism or the mother goddess or all the kind of things that we look back in history at. And so pagan, that kind of has the understanding of where the word comes from, as I understand it. And paganism today, well, the way I view it and understand it, and I think it's the general definition of the term, is the idea that we go back to nature, the mother goddess, the polytheistic ideas, the pantheistic ideas of the past, and abandon Christianity, really the three monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, that believe in one God, although there's differences, which is a topic for another discussion another day.
Those
who reject this idea of a one God, who the creator of everything, and paganism goes back to the ancient cultures which worshiped nature or worshiped spirits behind everything, worshiped idols, this kind of a thing. So I think that might be kind of a general idea of what paganism is, as I understand it.
So if we're talking about paganism, and again, we're not necessarily talking about, you know, putting dead bodies on Viking longboats and set them on fire as we chant them farewell into Valhalla. But how about this, Steve? Would you say that when folks say, "Well, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual," and you know, I like a little incense and I listen to the Grateful Dead and I've got kind of a Hindu poster and trees are nice and I have a bumper sticker that with a picture of the globe and it says love your mother, is it that kind of soft, fuzzy first world I get cool stuff at the mall virtue signaling approach to spirituality, or is there something more serious and more organized to it?
Well, I think that it's a whole spectrum. I think that there's some kids out there who are raised Christian and so on who are enticed by, you know, Christianity limits me from doing this and that, and I can't have sex before marriage, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And they're attracted to maybe a soft kind of a paganism of, you know, New Agey kind of things that are going on in the culture today. I think it also gets to be else many who are actually making sacrifices today, and it's a much more evil and intense form of it. But it's just like everything else. Once you abandon the idea that there are absolutes and that there's one God, and he has a book, by the way, and you just believe that everything is relativistic and you can just go any way you want, people tend to go within themselves or go to nature and so on. And unfortunately, there's as many different ideas as there are people and
right.
different ways of expressing this. But I think they all have in common that they're rejecting the Christian culture that has been here for 1,700 years in the West, basically, and mm-hmm. they're going back to the paganism that the early Christians faced when they first became believers.
You know, Steve, as we're having this conversation, I'm reminded of one of my professors from my student days at the Catholic University of America, Monsignor Robert Sokolowski, and he said, you know, if one afternoon some evil genius flicked a switch and every theist on the planet just disappeared, over time, religion would come back because there is a natural hunger for the transcendent, and people would worship trees and the stars and the sun and the moon. But if all traces of Christianity disappeared, Christianity wouldn't come back because Christianity is not something you can make up on your own. You know, there's no analog in nature to the Trinity, for example. There's no analog in nature to the Eucharist. And so there's something really distinctive about Christianity that can't be recaptured by a vague yearning for the transcendent. What do you make of that?
I think that's true, because we cannot come to the truth of the Trinity and the Blessed Sacrament and the Eucharist and all the great mysteries of God with our little heads. There's the story of St. Augustine walking along the beach thinking of the Trinity. Think, you know, three and one and three. How do I comprehend this? And this little boy who had a shell, and he dug a hole in the sand on the beach, and he was going to the ocean, taking the shell, bringing water, putting it into the hole, more water, pouring his hole. And St. Augustine said, little boy, what are you doing? And the boy says, sir, I'm going to take all the water that's out in the ocean, and I'm going to put it in my little hole. And Augustine says, stand up and look. The ocean is vast and infinite. You can never get all of that water into your little hole. And the boy stood up and pointed at him and said, and you, sir, will never get all the great mysteries and beauty of God with your little head. And that's what I mean. What I mean by that example is that we are standing here on the earth and we're trying to understand how we got here. What is the ultimate meaning of life? Where do we come from? Where are we going? Is there any meaning to all of this? What's after death? All these big questions, and we're trying to look out from ourselves with our little heads to try and understand all this. That's paganism. But Christianity, also we try to understand, but we have divine revelation that comes from the outside in. When I'm talking to young people, and I'm giving them, I love talking to high school groups, by the way, and I say Christianity, we could never understand these things with our own head because it took a space alien, someone who's not from around here, someone who had to come from out there in to explain to us all these things, and that's what Jesus Christ did. So I think that Christianity is a religion of revelation, and you're absolutely correct. Without that revelation, we could never reach that understanding. We could only have a basic naturalistic idea of God, but certainly not the beauty of Christianity, which comes from revelation.
Now, Steve, if I were of a darker, suspicious turn of mind, heaven forfend, I might suggest this, that, well, it's not that the neo-pagans have come up with better answers compared to Christianity regarding the eternal questions. It's just that there's less of an opportunity for enforcement of a moral code, and that's the big selling point of the resurgence of paganism these days. Is that too jaundiced and cynical of you?
No, I think it's true, because I think that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve did not want to depend upon God. They wanted to know the things that God knew. They wanted to be gods themselves. And really what paganism is making the person become their own God, because they're the one that determines what they're going to believe, what they're going to do. They don't want some other religion outside imposing moral values on them. Heaven forbid, who else is going to impose their morals on me? Mm-hmm. I am myself. I can decide these things for myself. And the whole culture today, I think that's exactly what it is. It's going right back to the Garden of Eden and saying, we don't need God. He says we're going to die. We don't believe that. And we're just going to eat of the fruit. We want this knowledge. We want to be like God. And paganism certainly feeds that desire.
So would you say people are looking for an excuse more than they're looking for guidance?
I think that's a part of it. I think people want to make their own decisions. They want to set their own morals. And I think it's also, though, that they do want to be spiritual. They do acknowledge that there has to be something outside of themselves. Because if it's just a naturalistic, atheistic world where there is no God and everything is just a matter of chemicals and molecules and hormones and electronics, where then really a person has no ultimate meaning. They are just a small machine inside of a big machine. And if I am in a naturalistic view, I am just an atheistic, I just crawled out of the muck and it's all going to burn up and it's all going to go away someday anyway, then why do I even get up in the morning? Why do I tell my wife I love her? It's not love. Love is a Christian word. I'm having a hormonal reaction for my wife. But if I tell her in the morning I'm having a hormonal reaction for you, I'm not going to get the response I want from my wife. People can't live in an atheistic world. You can't set that to music.
When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Steve Ray, asking, is paganism making a comeback? And we're going to look at contemporary idolatry. And we want to hear from you. Call us now, 1-877-511-5483. Text us, the same number, 1-877-511-5483. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, get our audio as podcast. We're on most major platforms. Keep the conversation going. Let's spread it around the world. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Liturgy of the Hours is prayed three times a day on the Station of the Cross at 5 a.m., 3 p.m., and 9:30 p.m. Eastern. The Liturgy of the Hours is a meditative and efficacious way to foster habitual prayer. It is the daily prayer of the Church, prayed throughout the world by priests, religious, and laity. For details about each hour and more information about the Liturgy of the Hours, visit thestationofthecross.com.
If you're new to iCatholic Radio, welcome to the free mobile app of the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. It's available for download to your Android and Apple mobile devices. If you have any questions about your new app, please contact us at thestationofthecross.com or 1-877-888-6279. That's thestationofthecross.com or 1-877-888-6279. Through your new app, you can listen to podcasts of shows, conference talks, and prayers. View our programming grid, call us directly, and check out our mobile website. You can even learn how you can promote iCatholic Radio in your community. Connect with us through social media and financially support the programming you love. That's all available on your iCatholic Radio mobile app. Thank you for joining our iCatholic Radio family, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. At iCatholic Radio, we're blessed to bring you the good news of Jesus Christ through the latest of technology. But don't rely on just one of your mobile devices for listening to iCatholic Radio. Download our free app to all of your Android and Apple mobile devices, ensuring you never miss a show. That's iCatholic Radio, great Catholic programming available for download through the Google Play and iTunes stores. You're listening to the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. Call in to the Catholic Current this hour at 1-877-511-5483. Each morning, the Catholic Current sends out a short survey on the topic for today's show so that you can share your thoughts and any questions you might have. This is a great way to participate, especially if you aren't able to call in live. A few of the responses will be read over the air to add to the discussion. So make sure you sign up to receive our emailed survey at thestationofthecross.com.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we plug into the power of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church. You're listening to us on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network and the iCatholic Radio app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. We've welcomed back author, apologist, and evangelist Steve Ray. We're asking, is paganism making a comeback? In this segment, we're going to look at paganism and contemporary idolatry. What that might look like. Steve, I'm going to read to you a couple of sentences from the essay called The New Paganism that Belloc wrote pretty early on in the 20th century. He says this. He says, our civilization developed as a Catholic civilization. It developed and matured as a Catholic thing. With the loss of the faith, it will slip back not only into paganism, but into barbarism with the accompaniments of paganism, especially the institution of slavery. It will find gods to worship, but they will be evil gods, as were those of the older savage paganism before it began its advance towards Catholicism. Now, Belloc is always witty, and he's always eloquent, but is he right? Are we always turning towards darkness in the absence of Christian revelation?
Christian revelation brings beauty. It brings order to society. It brings sanity. It brings an understanding of all the big questions, and it explains reality. When you throw that away, and I would say that in the last century, when Christianity began to fade away, and I'll say this, my parents, my dad died 6 years ago at 94, my mom is now 97, and they said, Steve, we don't recognize our country anymore. And I said, what do you mean by that? And they explained the changes from when they were younger, the beginning of the 20th century until today, how things have changed. And the fact is that the beauty that we once had is leaving. The unity of society, the beauty that Christianity has brought about, universities and hospitals and the freedom for equality of women, all these things are a result of Christianity. When you throw that aside, what do you fill it with? There came a lie that Christianity was not good. There was a better philosophy. There was the Enlightenment. There was this new age and yourself, be yourself. And when that came around, people liked it because it really plays into our baser instincts. And so we abandoned Christianity, not because a better philosophy has come along, because there hasn't been a better philosophy that's come along. But we fell for it because it was being promoted by the media and the movies and the music and the philosophers and the universities. And pretty soon it became a monolithic thing, and it's invading everybody. This is why I never gave my kids television. My grandkids don't have television, because we're not going to let that pervasive nihilistic attitude come into the family. We're not going to allow it in our family. And I don't think it's because they have a better philosophy, but it's just one that they enjoyed it because it fits their baser instincts, is the way I'd say it.
Well, yes, I would say part of the appeal of paganism, whether new or old school, is that it appeals to those basic instincts, those that are more visceral, those that are more animal-like. And as we said in the last segment, very often the rejection of Christianity is not for a matter of principle, but as a matter of permission, looking for excuse to give rise to darker impulses. Steve, yep. You know, when I was horrified as I watched in recent months one state legislature after another passing really gruesome pro-abortion bills celebrating the legalization of infanticide. I thought of people crying tears of joy and literally dancing in the street in Ireland when constitutional protections were lifted from the preborn. And I said, what we're witnessing today is the resurgence of the cult of Moloch. And some people said, oh, Father, there you go, exaggerating again. So I want to ask you, Steve, was I exaggerating? Are we watching the resurgence of the cult of Moloch in our time?
I think so. And this is the way I give a talk. I've been asked to give this talk 100 times, called Swimming Upstream, Living a Catholic Life in a Pagan World. And the desire for this talk is just unprecedented. People want to hear this. And also my movie that I just made called Elijah and Elisha, The Conscience of the Kingdom with Ignatius Press. In there, I deal with Moloch, or Chemosh. He had another name, too, over in Moab in these countries during biblical times, but he's having a resurrection now. And this is the way I say it in the movie, that Moloch was a god that had a big potbelly stove and a big head with eyes that smoke belched out of, and they would put the fire in there, and then they would call the people from the province, and they would say, because we have an agrarian society, we have this god Moloch who is a fertility god, and we pray to him, and he'll bring the rains and bring prosperity. And so they call on some women to bring their babies forward, and these women will become, these families will become heroes because they're sacrificing their children for the good of the whole community. And they bring them in on a Saturday morning. They get the fire going. Moloch is red hot, and says the iron is just red hot, and heat waves are coming off. And the priest prays, "Oh Moloch, we have brought you our best." And the music is playing. It's very sexual, because this is very fertility and all about the rains coming on the earth, almost like a man laying on a woman. That's kind of their view of this whole sexuality thing. And the gods are up above coming down to water the earth. And they bring the babies and they put them in the hands of Moloch, which are red hot, like a steak hitting a grill. They push the babies down into the belly, but they don't hear the babies scream because of the pipes and the drums and the dancing. And then the priest stands back up and says, "Oh God, Moloch, we pray now that you've given us your best. We pray that we've given you our best, our children, that which you require, the blood of our children. We now pray that you'll bless us and make us prosperous." And I say to the audience, isn't that disgusting? And yet we as Americans, even enshrined in our law, still worship the same god Moloch, but we've given him a new name. He is now named abortion. And we in America, sanctioned by law, are willing to sacrifice our children for our prosperity. Don't say that we're not a pagan culture. We're just as pagan as they are. We've just painted it a little whiter.
God deliver us all. Steve, thank you for that testimony of faith. To see people smiling and cheering and lighting up public buildings to celebrate legislation that now sanctions infanticide is absolutely monstrous. And I think the body of Christ needs to stand together and say the resistance starts here and the resistance starts now. Only a sanctified people ready to die and rise with Christ for the life of the world can overcome such dark madness.
And exactly what I say. These people are dancing in front of the god Moloch again. They don't call him Moloch, but that's exactly what it is. And you look back even at the Aztecs only 500 years ago and on our southern border, and they killed 80,600 human beings to dedicate their temple to a god who was called the lover of hearts and the drinker of blood. They would kill these people, rip their beating hearts out of their chest, and then eat the bodies, cannibals. And they did this for their god. And this is what we are doing now. We are giving the lives for our children, and the governor of Virginia and New York, these stupid governors, and I'm sorry to say that, but that's exactly, I say what I mean, are now saying, let the baby come out, make him comfortable before we slaughter him. And this is barbaric. This is the most ghoulish thing I can even imagine. An innocent baby, we're just going to get him comfortable before we kill him. We in America really have to turn it around. Now, in this talk that I give called Swimming Upstream, I show how the early Christians who lived in a culture like this, the Greco-Roman world, how they used to throw their babies under the bridges. If they had a little girl they didn't want, they would throw them under the bridges and the wild dogs would come and eat them. But the Christians would come at night and they would get those babies before the dogs did, and they would raise them as their own. And the people in Rome began to have great respect for the Christians because they did that. We as Catholics are standing up for life, and we are winning the battle in the minds of people. More and more people are becoming pro-life, especially young people, and we have to keep up this fight, even if it means we're going to be martyred for it someday.
Well, you know, Steve, what concerns me is that we've lost our capacity to be horrified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wasn't there a Brothers Grimm tale about a prince who was sent away so that he could learn how to shudder? I think we need to shudder. We need to rend our garments. We need to declare a fast. I mean, how do we go from one day to the next, knowing that we live in this country with people like Andrew Cuomo, smiling in public? I don't understand why he's applauded, why people get up on the floor of the legislature and get histrionic. You know, you talked about the god of abortion. No, it's the god that dare not speak its name. We call it choice. We call it reproductive justice, freedom. We call it women's health. Right? I mean, if I call up the family of Ted Kennedy and said, I want to dedicate the Ted Kennedy Memorial Abortion Clinic in honor of his voting record, they would not take me up on the offer. Why is that?
Because, you know, in our culture, we become immune to these things. It's like if you do something with your hands, like carpentry or even playing a guitar, your fingers get sore. They get sore, but over time you build calluses up and you don't feel it anymore.
Right.
There's the statement that if you put a frog in a pan of cold water and you turn the heat up slowly, the frog will not notice the change in temperature and it will boil to death and die in the water. Right. We in this United States of America and the rest of the Western world, we're like a frog. We've been put in the water, which was the real world that my parents knew, and then they slowly turned up the heat, and they started to bring in these new philosophies and these new ideas, and they said God is dead, and they said human life is not of value, and they kept turning the heat up, and it came slowly enough that we didn't react. We didn't get horrified by it. And now here we are, many American Christians and Catholics are sitting there watching TV and accepting this whole liberal mentality, and they would not have done it if it had been overnight. Bam, it changed overnight. They would have never accepted it. They would have never allowed themselves to be infiltrated by these horrendous ideas. But because it was the heat rose slowly, we adapted day by day, we adapted to it, and now we're being boiled to death and we aren't even horrified and we don't even feel it. And I think that we have to get sensitized to it. And I think science has been our friend in many ways, because
yes,
it shows the life in the womb. It shows babies and they're fighting for their life. And this new movie, Unplanned, showing a baby struggling and fighting for his life. And people, when we start to use the media that we have and we start to fight back, I think we have to fight back. And I'm so proud of the Catholics in this country, because when this all happened back at Roe versus Wade, I said, oh my goodness, once something becomes legal, it's also going to be considered moral. But Catholics right. have not let that happen, and they continue to shove it right back in the culture's face, and they keep that issue alive, and we're winning this one. We still have the whole homosexual LGBT. We're losing on that one. But you know what? Abortion took us time to learn how to fight back with that, and we learn slowly, but hopefully we will be able to turn our culture around someday.
Well, I want all the listeners to go see the movie Unplanned. I think it's a decisive achievement in the pro-life culture, and it's not something that's going to be able to be swept under the rug easily.
Yep.
When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with apologist and evangelist Steve Ray. We're asking the question, is paganism making a comeback? And in the next segment, we're going to ask, are we living in a time of post-Christianity? And we want to hear from you. Get in the line now. Call us, 1-877-511-5483. Text us at the same number, 1-877-511-5483. After the broadcast, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, get our audio as podcast. We're available on most major platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. We started the conversation here at the Catholic Current. We want you to keep it going with your family and friends. Educate them in the truth. Keep the conversation going. Let's not rest till it spreads around the world. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Many of our donors tell us that they wish they could give more in support of Catholic Radio. If you wish you could give more, there's a way you can without changing your giving amount. Many companies offer gift matching programs for their employees, and your employer may be one of them. Ask your employer today if your charitable gift to the Station of the Cross can be matched. This could double your donation, helping us spread the gospel message to even more people. The Station of the Cross is a lay apostolate and a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Thank you for your support of Catholic Radio, renewing our world through evangelization.
This is Jerry Usher, one of your hosts for the upcoming Station of the Cross on-air spring appeal, April 29th through May 3rd. Join us as we celebrate the Station of the Cross 20 years of defending the faith. As an Apostles Club supporter, your gift of $1,500 or $125 per month will enter you into a drawing for an all-inclusive trip for two to the Holy Land. You'll receive an exquisite 12-inch hand-painted statue of St. Michael the Archangel, a St. Michael chaplet, a brown scapular, booklet on the brown scapular, and a St. Michael prayer card. To donate, call 1-877-711-8500. Go to thestationofthecross.com or use the return envelope from the recent spring appeal mailing. That's 1-877-711-8500 or thestationofthecross.com. I look forward to being with you April 29th through May 3rd on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network.
Tune in weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern Time for Sermons for Everyday Living, a program that brings you real sermons from real priests on topics important to you and your faith. Visit thestationofthecross.com for details.
You're listening to the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. Call in to the Catholic Current this hour at 1-877-511-5483. If you miss any portion of today's show or want to listen to any past episodes, click the podcast link under the Programs tab at the top of our homepage, thestationofthecross.com.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we plug into the power of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church. You're listening to us on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network and the iCatholic Radio app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. Our question today is this: is paganism making a comeback? Our returning guest is Steve Ray, well-known author, speaker, apologist, and evangelist, and we're defining paganism as the absence or rejection of Christian revelation. We looked at different forms of idolatry, especially the cult of Moloch, offering sacrifice to children. Now that's given the name choice, reproductive freedom, reproductive justice, and women's health. In this segment, we're going to look at it in a different way. Steve, there was a time when the culture, the civilization was Christian, and it was specifically Catholic, and the whole that part of the world under the sway of Christianity was called Christendom. Very many good things happened from that. We're not there now. It looks like we're under a new administration or under new management. Are we living in a secular age? Are we living in an age that you would call post-Christian? Dr. Steve Turley, who's been a guest here, says that Christendom is going to be making a comeback for a variety of different reasons. How do you understand the times we're living in now?
I think that our culture and our society and the whole Western world is still living off of the capital that was given to them by the Christian Church. For example, the whole healthcare system, it was Catholics that set that all up because they cared for the individual and the health and well-being. Women became equal because Paul said, dropped an atom bomb into the culture back then. Everybody knew that the woman was owned by the husband, and it was a very patriarchal system. And he said that a woman should never withhold herself from her husband because the husband owns her body. That was not radical. The radical part was when Paul turned it around and said, and husbands should not withhold themselves from their wife because the wives own their body. Christianity brought this equality into the whole Western world, and it brought in hospitals, universities, all the beautiful churches and art and music that we know that came from Christianity. And our society and culture today is abandoning Christianity, but they're still coasting off of the capital that they have from the Christian culture. And as the longer that we continue to move away from Christianity, the more we're going to lose of that culture, because anything else only brings ugliness. It brings darkness. It does not bring beauty. That's why Christianity was so able to survive and to spread through the whole Greco-Roman world in three centuries. Just look at it. The Christians were living in a pagan world, much like what we're beginning to live in now. We're going back to that pagan reality, but the early Christians were able to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ in three centuries. They were simple people, Paul says. Not many of you were noble. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were rich. But God used you to shame the others. And Christianity turned the whole Western world, the Roman Empire, upside down. In 313, it was legalized, and shortly thereafter, it became the religion of the empire. And it was beautiful, and it brought beauty. Now we're moving away from that again, right back into the same paganism. So in a way, I would agree with that. We're living in a post-Christian culture because people are beginning to turn away from Christianity, for no good reason, but because they're being brainwashed into it.
You know, Steve, I think back to when the European Union was being founded, and in the preamble to the Constitution, it was decided to make no reference to Christianity at all as a source of European culture, which is boggling to me. It's like trying to speak of an ocean without mentioning water. So, I mean, even if you hated Christianity, that's just fundamentally dishonest. That's a deliberate kind of amnesia. I would say there used to be a better class of atheists back in the day. I said, here's what concerns me. The rejection of Christianity that was the Enlightenment and the rejection of Christianity that is the resurgence of paganism are both parasites living off of what they reject, and that the husk of the formerly Christian culture that we had known and celebrated in our education, our liturgy, is almost dried out. The juice is almost gone. And then once that husk is dried out, what's going to be left but the law of the jungle? Is that too apocalyptic a view?
No, I don't think so, because if you look at the 20th century, as the philosophers at the end of the 19th century brought in this whole idea of God is dead, and you had Nietzsche and all the others, I'm going to list them all. My daughter's a PhD in philosophy. We get her on sometimes. She'll tell you all about philosophy at the end of the 19th century that denied the reality of these things and started to have a whole different philosophy of life. That resulted in the 20th century, where there was more martyrs, Christian martyrs, than in all the previous centuries since the time of Christ. It was also the time, the bloodiest century. What did this new Enlightenment bring about? What did this new view of society without God, where man is the center and the source of all things, man is the center, science? Well, you know, we're just down in Mexico and these big murals. Diego Rivera painted one. It says, man, the controller of the universe. And I take people there and we look at that painting and I argue with him. He argues from his painting and I argue back. Marxism and atheism are not the answer. They only bring ugliness. You look at what that whole idea brought into the 20th century. It brought in the Nazis. It brought in the Soviet powers. It brought in all of these wicked, evil things where people died and human life was denigrated and beauty was taken away. I went to Poland and the East Germany and Czechoslovakia in 1983. I smuggled Bibles and medicine and money into the Christians in Poland. My wife and I drove through Checkpoint Charlie with all the stuff on this contraband in the dashboard and in the seats of the car, and we took that. I could not believe the ugliness and the lack of personal contact and the oppression that was there. These philosophies only bring darkness and oppression because somebody has to control the masses, and what ends up happening is it becomes ugly. Christianity brings freedom and it brings beauty, but when we resort to these others and we throw Christianity away, it's only the possibilities are going to go to darkness and ugliness, and people who don't know history are doomed to relive it.
Well, see, and that terrifies me, Steve, because I read an interesting statistic a couple years ago that one of the leading causes of death in the 20th century, if not the number one cause of death, was death by your own government. Let that sink in for a moment, all right? Look, I understand, you know, there was only one person in human history who was ever immaculately conceived. All Christians are sinners. Yes, yes, yes. We all acknowledge that. I will add that what most people think they know about the Crusades or about the Inquisition is a fantasy and simply not true. Again, another topic for another time. Maybe you and I can talk about this. The point is this, that the dignity of the human person, the respect owed to the human body and the human soul was matchlessly identified and promoted and sanctified in Christianity alone, uniquely, distinctively. And you can't have all of what Christianity secured unless you have the Christian culture of beauty, truth, and goodness to support it. We want all the bonus with none of the onus. We want the benefits of Christianity while spitting on Christ. I think that story's not going to have a happy ending.
It can't have a happy ending. And what you're saying is that we were part of a culture and a society that had absolutes. There was a God. Certain things were right and certain things were wrong. And there was justice and a sense of justice. And not everybody just went out and did. We had the freedom in our country, the freedom to pursue happiness and liberty. But that doesn't mean the freedom to do whatever we want to do. And there's a statement that I learned from, I went to Switzerland in my younger years to study with Dr. Francis Schaeffer, who was a Protestant, and I was at the time too, but he was a brilliant man. And he said, when there are no absolutes, when you throw absolutes and away, the state becomes absolute.
Yes.
Something, people cannot live in chaos. People right. cannot live with chaos and uncertainty. There has to be form and order to society. And when you throw away the absolutes of Christianity, then the state becomes absolute. If there is no God over us, then the state takes that position. It becomes our big brother, takes care of us, but it also controls us. And then you have to say, who controls the controllers? Who's in charge of that state that now has become divine, the state that has become absolute? And then you have tyranny. Always it goes to tyranny.
You know, and that terrifies me too. I frequently watch the videos of Stefan Molyneux. He's on Freedom Main Radio, and he has a channel on YouTube. And he's done a number of studies where it says that atheists tend towards totalitarian politics.
Yes.
And he says there is something about human nature I would say that there is an altar at the center of the human heart, a throne at the center of the human heart, and it has to be occupied, and it's meant to be occupied by the living God. And when we reject the living God, that altar, that throne at the center of our heart is not going to remain empty. Something else, something ugly, something dark is inevitably going to take its place.
I read that article that you wrote, and it was excellent. And that was the byline up at the top, that there, every one of us have an altar. It's another way of what St. Augustine said, that all of us have an emptiness inside that only God can fill. We try to fill it with sex and drugs and alcohol and success and beauty and sports and entertaining ourselves. We try to fill that with everything we can, that emptiness, that altar. We bow down to money, to careers, to sexuality and we bow down to that. That becomes our new altar. And behind every one of those altars, by the way, Paul said, when you bow down to these pagan altars, there are demons behind those, and I don't want you to be partakers of the demons. And when we bow down to these other things, we're really giving our lives over to the evil powers. And what you said there is absolutely right. Our altar in our heart is supposed to be bowing down to God. That is the one. He is the only one worthy of our worship and our adoration. And when we divert that to something else, it's only going to be a destructive power in our lives. It's only going to hurt us. And we need to have that filled, that emptiness in our souls filled with God, because nothing else will satisfy it. That God made that emptiness in us so that he would fill it, so that we'd seek after him. He's called the hound of heaven. He's yes. out looking for us. He's the hound sniffing and sniffing, trying to call us back and find us. And some of us are going to listen and let him find us, and others are going to keep running away from him. Those who run away from him are looking for trouble, and they're not going to ever find the joy that they're looking for.
So, Steve, let's be clear with our audience. What we're talking about here isn't just abstract philosophy or practical politics. Ultimately, what we're talking about in the resurgence of paganism is spiritual warfare, isn't it?
It really is, because I just, in looking in preparation for this talk, this radio show, in Deuteronomy it says that the people who went after these other gods whom they had not known were actually serving the demons. Psalm 106 says the same thing, that those yes. who bow down to other idols or seek a sense of fulfillment and meaning outside of God himself are bowing down to demons. Paul likens it to the Eucharist. He says when you come and partake of the Eucharist, you are partakers in the body and blood of Christ. But if you go over there and you make something else that altar. If you serve something else, you become partakers of the demons. And this is really what we're doing. There's evil powers out there. We're part of this whole atheistic New Age paganism kind of thing, kind of denies the truth and the reality of a personal devil, except for those, of course, who are into witchcraft and Wicca and all of those. But many of the culture today deny that fact. But that, I think Satan just laughs, because he certainly is a personal, real power that rejected God, and he's influencing the world, and those who ignore him to their own detriment. When we bow down to anything other than to God himself, we're giving ground, we're opening ourselves up to something much different than what God wants to give us.
Well, you know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, you have to man the walls, guard the gates, you snooze, you lose, you blink, you die in the dark. This is a very high-stakes game we're playing, folks. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Steve Ray regarding the resurgence of paganism, and we're going to ask ourselves, what can we do to promote the light against the powers of darkness? And we want to hear from you. Get in the line now. Call us 1-877-511-5483. Text us the same number, 1-877-511-5483. After the broadcast, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audioist podcast. Remember, we're available on most major platforms. We started the conversation here at the Catholic Current. We want you to spread it among your family and friends. Let's keep it going around the world. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 4th. Today we celebrate Saint Isidore of Seville. Some people manage to thrive under difficult conditions. Today's saint is one of those people. Born in mid-6th century Spain, Isidore received a fine education at the hands of his brother. Years later, Isidore became known as the schoolmaster of the Middle Ages. He is also known for his contributions to the church and culture of Spain in a period of great conflict. The Visigoths had invaded Spain 150 years earlier and established their own capital. Though Christian, they followed the heresy of Arianism, which denied the divinity of Christ. Isidore converted many of the Visigoths and made Spain a center of culture and learning. As Archbishop of Seville, he strengthened the seminary system and founded schools that taught every branch of learning. His own writings were voluminous, including a history of the world. Devoted to the poor throughout his life, Isidore increased his charities as he aged. He prepared for his death by giving away all his possessions. In his final months, his house was filled from morning till night with poor people seeking his help. He died in 636. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
This is Father Jacek Mazur. Please join me in a prayer to Saint Francis of Paola, a most holy Saint Francis. God gives wisdom to the simple and makes the merest child wise. Through your intercession, may he grant me the eternal reward promised to the humble. Help me always to properly examine my conscience and worthily partake in the sacrament of reconciliation. We ask this all through Christ our Lord. Amen.
You're listening to the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network. Call in to the Catholic Current this hour at 1-877-511-5483. Shortly after the show, visit our page for the Catholic Current at thestationofthecross.com. You'll find a link to today's episode page where you can view Father McTague's show resources and today's podcast.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we plug into the power of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church. You're listening to us on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network and the iCatholic Radio app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. Our topic today is this: is paganism making a comeback? Our guest is Steve Ray, returning guest, author, apologist, and evangelist. We've been talking about paganism as a rejection of Christ, a rejection of Christendom and Christian revelation, and that ultimately this is a matter of spiritual warfare. In this segment, we're going to talk about, what are we to do, brothers? How are we to be saved? Steve, what are our resources and what are our allies to bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ?
I think all people of goodwill we need to work with. When we become fewer and fewer, we need more and more, I wouldn't call them allies necessarily, but sometimes I'd call them co-belligerents. Maybe we disagree with them on a lot of things, but we can agree with them on certain aspects of morality and so on. So we can get together. I think of in front of an abortion clinic where you have Catholics there with Protestants and other people of goodwill. We may disagree with them when we're home alone and are around the dining room table. We may argue in-house, but we shouldn't argue when we're out together, because we are now beginning to be a despised subculture. And within our own culture, you can no longer be American in good standing and be a Catholic. You have to go swimming upstream now. You have to actually go against the current. And I think that we need to find those who want to do that with us, and we have to resist, because here's a story real quick, if I've got 30 seconds. My son,
sure.
We had a pool, and the grandkids, he said, if we go around and around, we can make a whirlpool. So the kid said, yeah, right, Dad, but they did. They got it going around and around and made a big whirlpool. My son said, now, let's pretend that this is the world. The current is the world. It's trying to force us to go its way, trying to make us think the way it wants to think about abortion and sexuality, everything else. And we as Christians can't go with the flow. We have to go the other way. So let's turn around and go against the flow. So the kids all got going the other way, but it was really hard. This whirlpool is pushing them back, and they were little kids. And Sammy says, I can't swim anymore. I'm so tired. And Maria Faustina said, swim, Sammy, you don't want to go to hell, swim. And they kept forcing their way around the pool, and it got going, and they slowly got it going the other way. And now the whirlpool is going the other way. And my son said, see that? If we really all get together and we all start going against the stream and we refuse to be carried by the stream, dead things float downstream. We're alive and we're going to go the other way. We can get the culture going back the other way. And that's a story I like to tell, that we as Christians and people of goodwill, all of us co-belligerents, if we say no to this culture of death and we start going against the current and say there is a God, there is real morality, we can, if there's enough of us and we swim hard enough, we can turn the culture back around.
See, I like your image of the stream and the whirlpool, because there is a Christian website called The Stream, and Tom Dilson a couple of years ago wrote an article asking about the use of the term post-Christian, and he wrote this. He says, one reason for rejecting the post-Christian label is that it reinforces a needless and un-Christ-like pessimism. It implies that Christianity is slipping out of reach, that the momentum is set so badly against us that things may never turn around again. Do you think that Christians should avoid the terms like secularism, where we live in a post-Christian culture? What do you think?
Well, I think if we understand it correctly, it's not a wrong thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
If it means that we are living in a culture that has begun to reject Christianity and all the beauty and the laws and so on that come along with it, and the philosophy of Christianity, and we're moving away from that, then obviously we are in a post-Christian philosophy in our country. But it doesn't mean that Christianity is no longer valid. If we mean by post-Christian that we have abandoned something that didn't work, then we should never use the term post-Christian.
Right.
If we only mean that we're in a society which has abandoned it and we're going to do everything we can to get it back, then I can see using that phrase.
Right. Steve, we have a caller in the line, Shelley from Boston. Welcome to the Catholic Current. What do you have to say to us today?
Hi, thank you. So I lean pro-choice, or I did, I guess, maybe. And recently the Unplanned movie was coming out, so I started doing a little, watching some podcasts and some information and finding out that there was a lot more going on in that than I realized it. And then I found out about the laws of Massachusetts, which I didn't realize. I thought it was a 12-week thing. It's a 24-week. Anyway,
right.
I'm starting to look, and I'm finding out that I wasn't as informed as I thought I was. And that I did go see the Unplanned movie, and I almost wanted to volunteer for pro-life people now.
Thanks be to God.
I'm switching.
Okay.
So when I'm looking at this whole situation, I said to my husband, he's in the same boat as me right now, I said, you know, you can get in a car accident, and if you hit a car and the woman dies and she was pregnant, you're charged with two vehicular homicides, the woman and the baby in the belly, because the baby in the belly is a life. So you're charged with two vehicular homicides. So how does the law reconcile the fact that you can have an abortion and that's okay, but yet the other situation is not okay.
Well, Shelley, thank you for asking us a very delightfully awkward question, and we welcome you and your husband to the cause of life. Steve, you want to take a crack at her question?
Well, first, I would just compliment her because she's a wise woman. She is looking at the real facts and not letting other people dictate to her what she's going to believe. She's looking at the facts and making her own decisions, and she's the kind of person that's swimming upstream that's going to help the cause in the long run.
Right.
In answering her question, the reason that we can do it is because our society has become schizophrenic. On one side of the hallway, you are fighting to save a baby who is prematurely born. I had a daughter who was prematurely born, 3 pounds. I held her in one palm of my little hand, and I said, "That's my daughter." And then we fight to save that daughter's life. On the other side of the hallway, there's a baby that's born that we're now putting to death. If that's not schizophrenic, because the mother doesn't want it. The baby itself has no intrinsic value. It's only what the mother wants. So another person is able to assassinate a person just because they want to. This is schizophrenic. Our society is schizophrenic, and I think that we have to expose it for what it is.
Right. I think the truth is on our side. And ultimately,
oh,
Steve, as Christians, truth isn't an idea or a concept. It's a person. And the only way out of the many dilemmas human beings find themselves in is to turn to the person of Christ. Christ alone is our hope. And the best thing that the world, that the church can do for the world is to fling out broad his name, to make him known and loved. Steve, we've got about a minute left. Can you offer a word of encouragement to our listeners, please?
Well, I don't think that we're on the losing side. We're on the winning side. I read the book of Revelation the other day, and that's the end of time. And I found out, you know what? We win in the end. We don't lose in the end. We win. We're going to have all kinds of enemies and antichrists and everything else and powers and governments. But in the end, we win. So why don't you join the winning side now and be one of those soldiers who gets the praise at the end of time because you were on the right side? I mean, we don't have to succumb to this. I am a nonconformist. I don't conform to the world. I choose what I want to believe based on what's true and what's right. The reason I'm a Catholic is because I was a skeptic through my whole life, and I am today. I was so skeptical, I had to know the truth about it, and I became a Catholic for that reason. We are on the winning side, and I hope that everybody continues to, but don't just sit in your house and be on the winning side. We need to be out swimming upstream, and we have to start influencing our culture and other people.
Steve, thank you for your testimony of faith, and thank you for being a great guest on The Catholic Current. Hope we can have you on the air again soon.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
I'm Father Robert McTagg of the Society of Jesus, your daily host, weekdays 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern on The Catholic Current. You'll want to join us tomorrow. Our very special guest will be Father Robert Sirico of the Acton Institute, and we're going to ask him, socialism in Venezuela, what can Catholics learn? You don't want to miss that. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, get our audio as podcast. We're available on most major platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. We want to keep the conversation going around the world. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go in peace, and please pray for me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Station of the Cross. The Station of the Cross is a listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please consider making a donation. Donations can be made through our website, thestationofthecross.com, or by calling 1-877-888-6279. You can also donate right through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app. Thank you for listening to and supporting the Station of the Cross, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.